Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and happy Friday, or Fri-yay, as my kids say. And I agree, Friday just always seems to have a different kind of energy, doesn't it? Even if you're like me and you're a nurse and weekends don't really matter, or you're another essential worker where Saturday is just another work day. But I don't know. I just love Fridays. And listen, I hope that you are following along with our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting. I'm going to be talking about this week's habit pretty in depth on this show today. And that habit is playing with your family. I firmly believed you might have heard that families who pray together stay together, but I also believe families who play together stay together. And I'll be talking a little bit about the science of that. And the verse of the week for me, and I hope a lot of other of you, I am looking at Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So if you are waiting for something, if you are in a season of waiting, or some other, you know, just situation or circumstance where you are waiting, let me encourage you to be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who are waiting for the Lord. But first, before I get to playing together and the science of that and answer some questions that I've gotten this week, we have a special guest. We have one of the Wildmans on right here on our show. We have Riley Wildman, and it's the first time she's been on the show. Her brothers have been on here before, but she is the director of the AFA Foundation, and she's here to talk to us about that. So, Riley, I'm going to give you the mic.
Yes, thank you so much, Jessica. I appreciate you for the first time having me on this afternoon. And yes, I honestly, Jessica, I don't get on very often. I'm kind of shy, but we will do our best to kind of get through this. But I just wanted to briefly tell your audience, Jessica, about the AFA Foundation. I am the director of the AFA Foundation, along with Chelsea, our assistant, and Jessica, our administrative assistant. And we handle what we call charitable gift annuities, and we handle donor advised funds, stock donations, outright gifts that people can give to the Ministry of American Family Association. And we also have a new tool that has just started this past year is an IRA rollover that people can give about, I believe it's $50,000 or $100,000 now, if they're over 70 and a half, that they can give an outright gift for a charitable gift annuity to the ministry and receive income from that. But one of our main tools, Jessica, is a charitable gift annuity. And I can give your listeners a kind of a brief overview of how that works. Basically, the minimum amount to fund a charitable gift annuity to the ministry is $2,000 or anything above that. And you can have up to one life or two life. So somebody can be single or they can be married, that they can give a gift to the ministry. And in return, they receive income coming back to them for life. And when they pass away, Jessica, anything left over is a gift back to AFA and AFR. So it's a great tool. I've been with the ministry since I was young, you know, since
yeah.
birth. But I've been, yes, but I've been the director now for a little over 10 years, and that this is one of a great tool and a great resource for your listeners that can leave a legacy, as my papa would used to say, to American Family Association, and a great way to, you know, leave a legacy to the ministry. So that's one of our main tools. Again, we do have stock donations that people give. We also do outright gift stocks to the ministry. But the charitable gift annuity is one of our main tools and a great source of resources for people.
Well, we had your brother Wesley on, and he told us all about your pawpaw. And let me tell you, I never had the blessing to meet him, But I did have a pawpaw of my own, and it just touched my heart. And it really is an inspiring story of how he took a singular conviction that the Lord laid on his heart and used it to build this ministry that has now endured for 3 generations. So I think that is incredibly amazing. And if you looked at all of the tributes that came out at his memorial service and all of those things, just all of the people that were talking about the ways that this ministry has impacted their life, it's amazing. And if you're a listener and you frequently listen to AFR, or even if you don't, you just came across or you like a couple of programs, all of that comes to you for free. And so we certainly appreciate your financial support. And Riley, I just have one question for you. So I hear that Share-a-thon is coming up, and I'm new. I just joined in October, so I haven't ever done Share-a-thon before. What can I expect? I've heard it's fun.
If you come, yes, it is. So if you'll come, we do have people that will just, when you come, you can have great meals and great fellowship with our staff. And then also you can just have a great time with all of the employees here in American Family Association. And it's a great time, Jessica, for the 3 days of Share-a-thon. We only do this in the spring and in the fall. 3 days in the fall, 3 days in the spring. And so it's just a great time of fellowship with one another, but a great way to get receive funds for our ministry to continue on the work that my pawpaw has left us in the ministry.
So that is coming up in April, so you'll have to stay tuned. Yes. And I've been told that Wesley's going to help co-host my show Me the Ropes. I'm really excited about that, so that will be good. And Riley, thanks so much for stopping by and for sharing with us ways that we can give back.
Yes, and if you don't mind, if I can give you our contact information.
Yeah.
So your listeners can kind of visit our website or give us a call. The phone number is 800-326-4543. Again, that's 800-326-4543, and the direct extension here in the foundation is 345. Again, that's extension 345. But they can also go to our website at afafoundation.net. Again, that's afafoundation.net, and run illustrations, Jessica, or give us a call, and we'll be glad to run those figures over the phone and answer any questions they may have. We're not trying to pressure anybody. We just want to get out the information, and if it's suitable for their situation.
Well, that sounds great. So y'all call now, you hear? That's how I feel like this is going down.
Yes,
Riley,
yes.
Thanks for stopping by. May God just bless you and bless the work that you're doing. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Have a great rest of the day.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
All right. Well, hey, friends, that was really encouraging and inspiring, and I hope that you'll consider that opportunity to give. And today, as I promised you, we are going to be talking about our habit for this week. So to catch you up, just in case you're new, or to give yourself a pat on the back if you're following along, I've challenged my listeners this year to adopt a healthy habit for parenting. One habit every week for the next year. And so here is your weekly check-in to think about how you're doing. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to try your best and try to habit stack these, is what I call it, and try to integrate more of these into your day. Because the more that you do consistently over time, I promise you, from my science brain as a professor, from my hands-on nursing experience, and from my heart as a mom, that is who Dr. Nurse Mama is. These are the essential building blocks of parenting. It is not a TikTok hack for a bento lunchbox. It is not, you know, just any other life hack that you see. There is no magic. It is all just in the magic is in the mundane, I promise you. So the habits we've talked about is praying. We've talked a lot about that. Memorizing scripture. I am working on memorizing 52 scriptures, one a week. Again, my scripture for this week is Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Plug into a local church, listen to Christian music, practice gratitude, listen with your face, bedtime routine, sleep hygiene, daily devotional, morning routine, and that is already up to week 11. Can you believe that we are almost, whatever week 12 is, that's going to be a quarter, about, right? A third? I don't know. I'm not a math major, but we are at week 11 already. And if you have been integrating these habits, I bet you've already been seeing the dividends of these. And my sweet rocket science husband, who thinks that it's funny that people think that I'm the funny one, that I'm the smart one in this relationship, he has been so sweet and following along with this and told me what a difference it has made in his parenting and what a difference it's made in his perspective, and just really has strengthened his heart and encouraged his attitude. So this week, what we're talking about is playing together. Now, it's interesting because when you go and look in the Bible for references to playing, most of the time you're going to see references to a musical instrument. That's why we had music so far up, because music does set our attitude. It sets the tone in our hearts. But playing is also important. And I don't care if your kids are 2 weeks old, 2 months old, 2 years old, 12 years old, 20 years old, or 50 years old. Your kids need you to play with them. You need to have fun together as a family. But however, we do see some references to play in Scripture. In Job 41, God is speaking to Job, and he refers to children playing like it's a natural, idyllic circumstance. And in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, Jesus refers to children as having playmates. Now, Isaiah's description of the peaceable kingdom also talks about children playing. So does Zechariah's vision of the new restored Jerusalem. There are children playing. Isn't that just such an amazing thought to think about in a perfect world that we'll be in one day, that there will be children playing? And it's mentioned as something that's beneficial, something that's happy. And it's talking about maybe heaven including play, and depending on what aspect of that future was being talked about by Isaiah and Zechariah. And there's lots of references to even animals playing and going out with joy and leaping for joy. So we know that this idea is there. And listen, I told you, there is no magic in all of this. But your children will carry the lifelong imprint of the way that you play with them. And the way you play with them can significantly impact the future of human history. I'm going to share with you a story about this in a little bit. But you know, sometimes I'll say before I start that parenting places so many demands on us. It can be overwhelming. And we sometimes just long for a moment to ourselves, because if we're honest, if we have kids in our house, there is a steady stream of requests just that relentlessly pelt our days. Can I have this? When are we going to do this? And we think of those demands as draining and exhausting. And if we're honest, costly in a lot of ways. They are costly emotionally, financially, relationally, physically, and mentally. Sometimes we just want to hide in our closet with a bag of snacks and, you know, just have a moment's peace. But what if we flipped the narrative? When our children are in need and are in need of us to play with them, what if instead of perceiving that as costing us something, we see it as an opportunity to invest in something in the future? It's hard because those dividends aren't instant. They pay off in the future. But I promise you, every sacrificial act of love and service is building your brand as a parent, as a family. And that is a family brand that your children carry with them forward facing. You are investing in your impact on the future of the world. How amazing is that? So I encourage you to think about your opportunity to prioritize play. Invest your time, invest your financial resources, save some of your physical and emotional energy to prioritize play. Now hang in there, guys, because we, as we prepare all these hearts and minds in our care, there are inevitable life transitions that happen, but we can be there and be a positive influence in those things, and play imprints itself on the hearts of our children in a way that nothing else does. It's not like lectures, it's not like money, it's not like anything else. And I'll talk to you about the science of this and some practical ways that you can play with your kids of all ages when we come back. Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents, and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to this Friday edition of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. This is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, and I am answering questions that I've gotten from listeners and from people in my community and just people all over, just things that I'm hearing about. But today, our primary emphasis is talking about play. Now, listen, I think you would agree with me. I think the world has gotten so serious, and we talk about this a lot here. There is a lot of fear that grips our hearts as parents, and there are a lot of terrible things that happen in the news headlines. There are things that we're afraid of. There are threats, and they're legitimate. I mean, these are things that we're legitimately afraid of. But you know, parents, I think sometimes we as parents, we get too serious and we take life too seriously. I am especially guilty of this, just thinking about my profession and what I do every day. And my husband, thankfully, is the bringer of all things fun. And he's really good. His gift in that is to infuse fun into our family. And he reminds me not to take myself too seriously. And I think it's really important for us as parents to remember to have fun with our kids. We've had guests on prior talking with a fascinating conversation about how much more learning happens when it's fun. And that happens when we're trying to teach them about character or math problems or how to ride a bike or how to eat with a spoon. The more fun that we make it, the more that we play, the more that we will stay together. And the science is clear. I'm sharing with you some information actually from the National Institute for Play, which, yes, there is such a thing. And really, we know that play starts with newborn babies even. And playing is very simple, just by looking in their eyes. And it's so amazing. God made us so that when we look into our baby's eyes, when we make that eye connection, it is such a profound connection that it actually synchronizes their neural activity. It synchronizes their brain activity, their heartbeat, their breathing rate to match to ours. That is incredible. And so just those brief moments of play, you know, I know when I had a baby, my first baby, I thought you had to set up like this elaborate play gear and playtime was going to be for an hour, but babies have a short attention span, so it doesn't take much. Just 5 minutes of peekaboo is simple, and it creates those bonds. But let me tell you, the most important part of that is eye contact when you are playing. Excuse me, but I am still struggling a little bit with trying to recover my voice, so just bear with me. Okay, play also makes our kids' brains more complex. So that is pretty amazing. And the way that our brains work is incredible. And we know that play actually causes the wiring in the area of your cortex to form neural pathways. Hear this, I'm gonna say this again. Play causes the wiring in our cortex to form neural pathways that determine how emotionally stable we will be and how easily we will learn. How incredible is that? So play is a great way to train those pathways to make those emotional and relational connections and to learn. Again, we learn through playing, especially babies and younger kids. Babies also learn by moving. So moving teaches their bodies how to play. This starts with just kicking their arms and legs, and then it starts with rocking, learning to roll over, crawling, putting things in their mouth. All of those things are play. Those are movement play. We also, again, play through learning and learning through play. That is an incredible connection. Play also helps develop emotional intelligence. And we all need those emotional skills to be successful in school, to be successful in family relationships, in our community. And play helps to foster that emotional intelligence. But one of the things that our kids really need today is more unstructured play. They need to figure out how to, you know, create things out of a box. Do you remember maybe when you were a little kid and the refrigerator box was more fun than the toy or anything that came in it? And kids really need that. A lot of times today, we try to structure their play too much, but they need some time just to be free, to let their imaginations run wild. Of course, we have to put safety boundaries around that and make sure that the environment where they're playing is safe. That is extremely important. But sometimes they need us to not structure every minute of their play. They need to figure out ways to use their imagination. And I know my kids have really done this. And one of the things that they used to do when they were little was they would put on plays for us. And that was great. They would make costumes out of things that they found around the house. And they would make sets with things they found around the house. And I had to learn to bite my tongue to think, oh my goodness, this is such a mess. And where am I going to put this? Where am I going to clean this up? How am I going to put all of this away? But if you can have a little tolerance for that, and set some boundaries as a parent, you can be remarkably entertained. The other thing my kids did was make up a whole city where they all had different roles in the city, and they would just immediately go to play this Kidtropolis game that they made up. It was a beautiful thing to see. And now, as my kids are older, I see that is some of their fondest memories. Now, here's something else that may sound a little controversial, but hear me out. Kids also need rough and tumble play. They really do. They need that physical kind of play, whether that's, it's not fighting, it's not dangerous, it's not touch without consenting to that touch. We need to teach our kids about good touch and bad touch and telling them, you know, no, and respecting our body boundaries. But I'm talking about things like King of the Hill and tug of war and tag. And if you have boys and you listened to my show on earlier this week with Dorinda Wilson, just roughhousing. My boys, they will roughhouse to me as a mom. I'll look at that and think, oh my goodness, that looks terrifying. But they are laughing, thinking it is really great. And they need, sometimes adults, we try to keep kids away from that rough and tumble play because we're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. But the truth is, as long as everyone is having fun, everyone is in on it, no one is being bullied or, you know, being forced to do something, no one is violent or threatened, rough and tumble play really helps kids figure out who they are and what they can do. It helps them develop a sense of belonging, which is really good. And there's some interesting studies that look at small mammals, and when they're deprived of rough and tumble play, they can't tell a friend from a foe. They overreact to stress, and they have smaller brains with fewer connections. So our kids need that physical connection from us. So here's what I'm going to tell you. A lot of times when we have kids, when they start to get to that preteen age and teen age, that's when they get this little device in their hands called a smartphone that is a digital connection, but a physical disconnection. And I see this happen in a lot of homes where it allows you to go into different rooms. Now, when we were growing up, if you grew up like me in the age before a smartphone, you know, going to your room was kind of a punishment. Like, nobody wanted to go to the room. They wanted to be out where the family was. There was not a TV in the room. There was not a smartphone. There was not a gaming console. Now, sending kids to their room is like a reward. I mean, we want as adults, like, send me to my room. That would be a great punishment. But when we send kids to their room, they're isolated. And I see a lot of kids who are spending a lot of time isolated in their room and physically disconnected from their family. So you may all be in the same house, but you're texting each other, what's for dinner? Or those kinds of things. And that's not always a bad thing or in and of itself a bad thing. But I want you to think about how much physical interaction you're having with your kids. Do you sit on the couch together, side by side, to talk or play a game or even watch a show together? Because screen time isn't bad. Actually, I'll put a little plug in for this. Screen time is most effective when you're watching something that is edifying and educational, but the key is parent and child watching together. That's when bonding can happen. So think about, I just encourage you to think about that. How much are you playing together? Are you doing a puzzle together or playing a board game? Honestly, you can take advantage of teenagers' affinity with all things vintage. So go get out your Scrabble, go get out your Monopoly, and just start playing. If you and your spouse are at home together or another adult who is in the house or a friend, just start playing. And it's interesting how kids will be interested. Say, what are you doing? Can I join in? So I encourage you to just think about that physical connection you have with your kids. And are you hugging them and playing with them in ways that involve a physical connection? Now, I have a really actually sad story to share with you, but it is instructive about the value of play, because play deprivation can actually have really tragic consequences. Many of you will remember in 1966 or have heard about this, about an instance of a shooting that happened at the University of Texas Austin campus. Now, there was a man there who killed his wife and his mother, and then he drove to the college campus where he killed 17 people and wounded 41 of those. Now, before this, this man had never shown a tendency for violence. He had no criminal record. He was an altar boy, and in fact, was actually the youngest American boy at that time to become an Eagle Scout. But when this happened, the governor of Texas at the time, who was named John Connally, he assembled a team of international experts to search for causes. And what the team found was that they thought that a lack of play really contributed to this, was a key factor, in fact, leading to this. They saw, of course, that wasn't the only thing, but he was raised in a very authoritarian, abusive household where he had an overbearing father who controlled his behavior. And there have been a lot of studies and a lot of looks at this to see how men imprisoned for murder are what they call play deficient, or being deprived of free play. Now, that doesn't mean that kids who are not allowed to play are going to automatically turn to violence. But what we see is that children who are overly controlled and that they don't have free play, they do have unhealthy patterns of behavior that start. So by letting them play in a safe context with healthy relationships and nurturing that natural playfulness and just encouraging them to carry that with them into adulthood, this is really important. So let me give you again some of these comparisons that come from the National Institute for Play, who looks at the science of this. And when we see about play-filled or play-deprived, it's interesting because you look and see that kids who play more, they have more trust in their parents. They have more trust in authoritative figures. They are more flexible as opposed to having fear and resistance. Kids who play well are more optimistic. They solve problems better. They regulate their emotions better. They are more likely to experience perseverance and to have motivation from an internal drive. They're also better able to feel empathy and to recognize others' feelings. They have a stronger sense of belonging and their behaviors. They want to contribute to the community. They want to be a productive member. So these are all really great things to think about. So when you're thinking about playing with your kids, of course, when you're thinking about, let's start with the basics. Let's start with babies that are just newborn babies. They are just playing by themselves. They're moving their arms, their legs, their hands, their feet. Make eye contact with them. Make a physical connection with them. Rub their tummy or just smile at them. Touch their cheek. That is a way to play with a baby. And then they move into this solitary play where they usually like to play by themselves. And everything is mine, 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 mine. Don't touch my thing. This is mine. I want to play with it. And that's really normal. So sometimes I see parents who get concerned about their young child who doesn't like to play well with others. Well, that can be pretty normal. Then they move into this stage of spectator behavior. They're watching. They're starting to learn and see. They want to watch, especially older brothers and sisters. What are they doing? They're not going to play with them, but they're watching to see how they play. Then they'll start imitating them and playing alongside of them. After that develops, then they move into associative play. So that's where they're playing with other kids, but there's not much cooperation. So they're all playing on the playground together, but one's going on the slide, one's going on the swing. And then you have cooperative play. That's when they start to play games that have rules, when they start to play house and they start to have games that have role play in them and they start to imitate the people around them. And those are things that happen. So those are pretty easy to play. And I just encourage you, parents, sometimes play can seem like a drain. We don't know how to sit down and eat a plastic cookie that's been made to us from a drive-thru. But allow their imagination to run away with them a little bit. Embrace their story. You will be highly entertained if you let yourself. Let them play in ways that they want to play. If they're coloring outside the lines or if they're stacking up blocks in a way that you don't think they should stack up blocks. Sometimes we try to say, no, do it this way. Allow them to be free and to explore those things. That can be really helpful. And as your kids get older, it is important to play, to do what they like to do. So if they like to play video games, hey, sit down next to them, grab a console and say, teach me how to play. That is a great example of the intersection of playing and learning. And kids love to teach us what they love to do. If your child is an artist, play with them by saying, teach me how to draw something. Teach me how to paint something. If they like to cook, play with them in the kitchen and have a playful time together. So I'd encourage you to think, when is the last time your family played together and just had fun? And if it was yesterday, well, that is great. What are you going to do to intentionally put play in your weekend? Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk about some other things you can do, and we're going to start with hot girl walks. So stay tuned.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to another Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I am answering your questions. And we've been talking about the science of play and the importance of playing together as a family. It is so important to laugh together, to have fun together, to do joyful things together. And listen, this world is giving you a run for its money, and it is competing with you as parents to play with your children. There are so many more opportunities to play than ever before. And if you think about, I think about when I was a little girl, my most technologically advanced toy was the little coffee pot, you know, that you turn upside down and then all of a sudden the liquid disappears, and it was magic. How did that even happen? That is a far cry from how kids are trying to be, are competed for. Their attention is competed for. It is very, very valuable to companies all around the world who are competing for kids as consumers. Just think about it. We didn't have things like Candy Crush or other online games that are so accessible on a smartphone. You could entertain yourself for hours and hours and hours. We've already talked about before on the show the trend of bed rotting, which is a TikTok trend of self-care, and entertaining yourself by playing with your smartphone all day long. So there is any number of games that can be played on a smartphone, and you can bet those are monetized. Think about the Angry Birds craze or Pokemon or all of those things that require your attention and give the opportunity for advertising. So we have those screens. We also have streaming available to us all the time. That is what our kids are using for play. You can go on a smart TV. Who could have ever imagined there was such a thing? And they can have access to all kinds of streaming services and stream any kind of material that they want to have. Most of the time, they're watching videos on YouTube. If you don't believe me, just go look at people like Mr. Beast and how many followers they have and how people wait anxiously for the next drop of a video. And that is a form of play and a form of digital engagement that is competing for our time and attention and playing with us as parents. We haven't even talked about video games yet, and it's interesting in the world of science, one of the first addictions really to be classified in a medical kind of way is gaming addiction. And I have seen with my own eyes, in my own practice, 8 and 9 year old kids who have physically assaulted their parents for taking away a gaming console. Parents will decide to pull the plug and they will lose their minds. That is a highly addictive form of gaming. Now, as we talked with Dorinda Wilson earlier, or actually we're going to talk about this. She is going to be back on the show and we are going to talk about the ways that she harnessed gaming in a healthy way for her boys. So again, all of these things in and of themselves are not bad things, but to excess, when they become idols in our life, when we are spending hours and hours with those things. And honestly, parents, the truth is, here's where I'm going to step on your toes and mine. We as parents play too much by ourselves and not with our kids. How do we do that? Well, with Candy Crush and other online games. We play with social media apps. Those are things that we play with. And when you think about how much of our minds are engaged in playing games and entertaining ourselves through electronic devices. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you have an iPhone every Sunday when you're walking into church, it's that little conviction and reminder that is the amount of time that you could have spent playing with your family. That is really important. So again, just a time to take stock. Now here's the hope, because research shows that nothing can replace in the heart of a child the longing and the desire for a relationship and a connection with their parent. So if you're asking them to play and they're not that interested, don't give up. Don't just ask them once. Keep asking them. Keep inviting them. Keep giving that open invitation, and they will come. It's amazing to see how my kids will engage with me in playing a board game I had maybe when I was little, or a card game that I learned as a girl. They love for me to teach them those kinds of things. So I told you before the break I would talk about hot girl walks. Now I know some of you, your imagination is just thinking, what in the world is this? It's not as bad as you think it is, I promise. Hear me out. This is another TikTok trend. Thank you so much, TikTok, which, by the way, if you're following the news, I'll be talking about this next week about a potential TikTok ban in the United States. So stay tuned. I am aware of that. I will talk about that. But this trend in TikTok actually went viral in 2021, but it's still really popular. I'm bringing this up because we're talking about play, because I've had people ask me about it, and because we're going into spring break. Now, this is what it is. It's simply about a 4-mile walk, plus or minus, where you can only think or talk about these three things generally. Either what you're grateful for, what your goals are, or, oh, okay, this one is a little cringy, how hot you are. Now, hear me out. And a P.S., what the trend is that you look cute and wear athleisure wear, right? Fashion as you're walking. But here are some good ways that you can take advantage of this trend with, especially if you have daughters. It gets them active. After years of acculturating to sitting on a phone for hours and hours, what a great opportunity to get up and get moving. Walking is incredibly good for your heart, and it promotes bone strength. Walking also improves your mood and symptoms of anxiety and depression. Walking exercises your body, it helps you sleep better, it improves your circadian rhythm. And if you're walking, and let's just take the first two of those things, right? What you're grateful for or your goals. Let's say that's what we're going to talk about when we walk. We already know from talking about 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting that intentional gratitude is scientifically supported to improve mental health, enhance sleep, boost your mood, and actually lowers your risk of heart disease. So again, the idea of, you know, making this a fashion thing, that's a little cringy, but reframing that for positive self-talk is a healthy exercise. So let me tell you, I know because I talk with girls all the time in the context of being a nurse practitioner, their inner self monologue is vicious. They say things to themselves they would never say to someone else. They can look at themselves in a mirror and say, "You're ugly, you're fat, no one likes you," things they would never say to someone else. But these are the challenges of living in a world that is curated, in a world that looks perfect to them. So showing intentional gratitude for your body, for the way that God made you, and giving yourself grace to acknowledge those positive traits is really important. Now, if you walk about 4 miles, that's about an hour. And that is a great time to have conversation with your kids. Sometimes it's really hard. Now, if you're a parent and you've told your child, "Hey, come and sit on the couch next to me. I want to talk to you." What is their immediate thought? "I'm in trouble. Oh, great. I'm in trouble. What is this? This is weird. Why do you want to talk to me?" But if you say, "Hey, I'm going on a walk. Will you come with me?" That is much different. So I am a big, big fan of walking with your family. And I start doing this and my kids just want to come. They want to be in my physical presence. They want my undivided attention. So talk to your teen about this trend. Ask them if they've heard of it. Ask them what they think about it. But better yet, lace up your sneakers. Invite them to go on a hot girl walk with you or just a walk with you. They may laugh at you. They may tell you it's cringe, right? They may even tell you, "No way, I'm not doing that." Here's the thing. Go anyway. It's good for your health, and it's a powerful opportunity to model self-care and wellness that is caught and not taught. And you never know, they might change their mind and come with you. So one idea, this is reframing our idea of play. We think of play as just playing basketball, which that's great too. Or playing a board game, but going on a walk can be like play. So maybe you get your daughter a little gift. Maybe that's new earbuds or a water bottle or a claw clip. If you're a guy, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But moms, you know, and just give it to them and say, "Hey, I want to go on a walk. I got you this little gift today and let's go on a walk." Those kinds of things can be really beneficial. And so I encourage you to try it. Now, when we're looking at playing with our kids, again, we think again of we have to do something really elaborate. We think we have to go to an amusement park. We think we have to go skiing. We think we have to do something that's expensive or elaborate. But the truth is, kids just really want our time more than anything. They want to know that we care about them. And so, and especially during spring break and the upcoming summer, that pressure seems more intense. We feel like, again, we got to take the best vacation. We got to have Instagram worthy adventures. We have to plan every moment to be extraordinary. But let's throw back here. Are there any other Gen X parents with me? Because if you're in Gen X, when we were growing up, our parents basically just had to keep us alive, right? They told us, be back before dark. And we were, after spending the day looking for coins and riding miles alone on our bikes. And the truth is, my siblings and I may or may not have bought candy cigarettes. Okay, I know they don't sell those anymore. That was controversial, but maybe we did that. You know, if that's the worst thing we ever did, I think we did okay. But then we would drink from the hose, and our parents didn't even raise an eyebrow or make us wear seatbelts. And now somehow we think in this day of parenting, that's not enough. We think they need our money or our resources or our endless advice. But again, what they really want is for us to spend our time with them and play with them. So let's take a little self-inventory together, thinking about playing. Do you eat a meal together at least once a week? And if you're eating that meal together, do you play a game when you're eating? Playing a game could be as simple as the game my family and I play is what's the highs and the lows and the where did you goes and tell me about your day. That's a way to play together and to share and to joke and to laugh with each other. Do you have a designated tech-free zone or tech-free time to make space for play? Now, our digital devices demand our attention. So I'll give you an idea from something I've tried with my family. We had a phone box, and when we were going to have designated playtime, everybody, and I mean everybody, even mom and dad, put their phones in that box. And we actually were keeping time of how much time we spent playing together and how much time we saved by being off our phones. So for my house, a lot of times that looks like tech-free Tuesday. It's tech-free Tuesday. We're not going to have any screens. Let's find ways to play. Let's find ways to entertain ourselves. And that's when a puzzle might come out, or a board game, or a basketball, something that is interactive. Because let me digress here for a second and tell you, for 10 years, I have volunteered as a camp nurse in summer camps. And I keep seeing these kids who come in and they cannot handle being outside. They cannot handle the heat. So they come in, of course, to the nurse's station. I'll ask them, what do you do when you're at home? And they say, we watch TV. What do you do when you're not watching TV? We play video games. What do you do when you're not playing video games? And they said, that doesn't exist. I don't understand that. And then I'll never forget the one little girl that I was doing a developmental exam, and she didn't recognize any of her shapes. And I was starting to get a little concerned. And then I drew a square, and she said, oh, TV. And I thought, this is the problem. So parents, let your kids go outside. They need vitamin D. They need the sunshine. If they have an opportunity and you have the means to send them to camp, do it. It's so important. So let's finish up our self-assessment really quick and say, do you have a designated tech-free zone or time for play? Do you have a routine time to play? Do you have Friday night game night? Do you have Friday night movie night? A lot of times my family will make a themed dinner that goes along with the movie, or themed snacks or something like that. Have you intentionally engaged in a play activity that you normally don't do but your children enjoy? So again, volunteer for a video game, play a round of golf, volunteer yourself to get a makeover. That could be really scary. Play together through volunteering. Have you volunteered for any kind of community service together for spring break or looking at the summer? Where can you play together in a volunteer capacity? And have you scheduled a family fun night with a mutually chosen activity? Parents, I'll give you a secret on this. A lot of times, if you give kids control of this, they will be much more engaged. So let them have input, even if they're really little. What would you like to do for a family fun night? And maybe that means that you end up eating some odd combination of foods or watch a movie you never would have watched before. It's so engaging to see the world through their eyes. Well, listen, I'm going to read over you once more Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord, and I encourage you to play. We'll see you here next week, and God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.